Okay, good morning. As you know, last week, House Republicans took a bold and significant step in passing our plan to address property taxes in Iowa. Our plan offers permanent property tax relief and will save Iowa taxpayers $1.2 billion on all classes of property, and that will come over the next 8 years. Under our plan, residential property taxpayers will save $606 million. Commercial and industrial taxpayers will save $347 million. Agricultural property taxpayers will save $226 million. Additionally, our plan will protect small businesses who rent their property under a net-net lease. From 2001 to 2010, property tax revenues grew an average of 4.79% per year. Commercial property taxes grew in an astounding 8.24% per year. During the same period of time, median family incomes in Iowa only grew on an average of 1.87% per year. This is the year to reverse this trend and give Iowans the property tax relief that they deserve. We know this is complicated. We recognize it's not easy, or it would have been done sometime in the last 35 years. But it is critically important that we take action this year. We want to now turn our attention to working with the Senate to ensure that permanent property tax relief is passed by the Senate as well. And now I'd like to turn it over to Lieutenant Governor Reynolds.
Thank you, Governor, and good morning. You know, when I served as a Clark County Treasurer for 14 years and in the office for 19 years, I had the opportunity to see firsthand the impact of the high property taxes and commercial property taxes on business owners in Clark County. My message was to them, as they wanted to share their anger and the impact that it had, was please don't shoot the messenger or the collector. Today, my message is much different. For decades, lawmakers have been talking about passing legislation to limit the burdens of Iowa's property taxes. Both Democrats and Republicans agree that this is the year to give Iowans the relief that they have waited for so long. The simple truth is, our plan is the only plan that protects both homeowners and municipal services. It saves Iowa property taxpayers $1.2 billion in property taxes over the next 8 years. It saves residential taxpayers over a half a billion dollars, and it provides the permanent relief that business expect and want. It prevents a shift to other classes of property, and it gives business owners the confidence that they need to invest that capital in their business, in their community, and in Iowans. We compete with other states, and we compete globally, and businesses are paying attention to the efforts in the state. We look forward to seeing this goal achieved this session. We've worked on it for 30 years, and it's time to get this done.
We'd be glad to respond to your questions.
Governor, there's a part of the plan now that excludes TIF areas.
Yes.
And there are some folks that say, well, two things. They say that's a good thing for cities because
right. Absolutely.
But there's also those that say that those businesses in the TIF districts won't receive the tax break, and that's potentially a problem.
Right, but they got the benefit of the TIF district. So you can't have your cake and eat it, too. I think this is certainly fair, and this is one of the adjustments we made. We made a lot of improvements in our plan over last year, including this provision for TIF districts. We made it for 8 years. We also put a trigger in there to ensure local governments are not going to lose.
But the trigger was taken out in the House.
The trigger was taken out in the House? No, I'm not aware of that. Well, if you look at the figures, local governments are not going to lose. They still continue to gain revenue. So whether you have the trigger in or not, the trigger is not really essential. That was just kind of an assurance to local governments. And we'll have to double-check to see what happened in terms of the House
when
action.
When you take the TIF dollars off the table, that reduced the impact.
Oh, it does. No question about it. When you take the – and there are like 46% of the commercial property in Iowa are in TIF districts. Right. But they have gotten the benefit of the TIF district. And now the rest of the property that has not gotten the benefit will get this benefit of the systematic reduction of commercial and industrial property taxes.
But does that encourage future businesses not to expand or locate in those areas that have already been identified as slum and blight?
Well, first of all, it's not just slum and blight. You have some people that have TIFed the whole town. So, and I think there are already concerns being expressed about TIF, and both in the Senate and the House, they're looking at separate bills dealing with those issues, and we've indicated a willingness to work with them. We think tax increment financing can be an effective economic tool, but we also know there's been some abuses that need to be corrected. No.
Right.
Well, first of all, it's not about dollars. It's about permanent property tax relief. And I think I would point out, if you just do that, you do nothing for residential property taxpayers. Our plan does more to help residential property taxpayers. It saves $606 million increase in residential property taxes. That plan, his proposal, does nothing for agriculture. It doesn't do anything for rental, for the most part. So we have a much more comprehensive plan. We intend to meet with him and work with him, and we want to see a permanent property tax relief approved. We understand Senate Democrats also have an interest in the Earned Income Tax Credit. I've indicated a willingness to consider that as a part of a permanent tax reform this year. Well, we've indicated a willingness to work with the Senate as well as with the House, and this is something that we needed to work out with the House in order to get a permanent property tax reform approved through the House of Representatives.
So you had to give up on...
No, I guess what we're saying, this is a process of negotiations, and we're negotiating with the end in mind, and we recognize there's some things that we need to work on in the House, and there's some things we need to work on in the Senate. But what we are looking at is the end result, and we're very hopeful in the end of the day we can get permanent property tax relief. As we pointed out, that will limit all classes of property, and that will systematically reduce commercial and industrial property taxes over a period of time. Those are all subject to negotiations with the House and the Senate as we go through this process. Yes.
School funding system, so we're going to 100% under the formula and then scrapping the formula?
Well, no. I think this is something, as I said, is subject to negotiations, and we certainly appreciate what the House is wanting to do here, and that is reduce the property tax cost of the school aid formula. We also think there's other things that can be done to reform and improve the way we fund education. Right. It is. That's why I appointed Beth Townsend. She inherited a total mess there. You had people in that agency who were literally not investigating cases and spending all their time doing personal email on state computers. You had people in that agency supposed to be investigating civil rights complaints that had nasty nicknames for all of their coworkers. There were no work rules. You had some people... I got to say, in a very short period of time, she's dramatically turned it around. There were cases that were 10 years old that hadn't been decided. There's a huge backlog. Beth Townsend is a very capable, talented person. I appointed her as the Director of Civil Rights. She's dramatically reduced the caseload. She's replaced the incompetent people or people didn't want to work. She had 5 or 6 people quit when she put the work rules in place. She had 3 more that she dismissed for cause for using personal computers and harassing their fellow employees, and they had the audacity to go to and try to draw unemployment benefits. And you may recall that it was actually reported in the Des Moines Register that, they didn't see anything wrong with what they did because it hadn't been printed in the paper. It wasn't printed until the hearing was held, and Beth pointed out why they were dismissed. They lost the case, by the way. So she's done a great job, and I guess I think if you want to look back the last 10 years, I admit it was a disaster. It was a mess. She's dramatically turned things around, and I think if you look prospectively forward, I think you're going to see much different results from the Civil Rights Commission under her leadership. Well, I guess for I don't know. We'll have to look at the whole statistics and whatever. But I'm just saying the key point here is the person that I put in charge has recognized the mess and the incompetence and the inappropriate things that were going on in that commission and has corrected and changed that. And I'm proud of her. And we've highlighted that. We highlighted that at the staff retreat. And we brought her, we had her actually use this as an example of the kinds of things we can do to change the culture of government. Because we have a responsibility to perform our duties and to do them in a way that treats people with respect and dignity, and also one that people can be proud of and know that we in government take our responsibility as servants of the people. Yeah, I've heard about that. I'm the victim of that. So let me just say, that is a present law, and I can't comment on that lawsuit, but we'll deal with it. I feel very confident.
We have states that require it to go through the process. Some other states require to go through the process and get the probable cause before you can go to court to limit the number of lawsuits that are perhaps frivolous. Should Iowa do something like that?
Well, I don't know. I guess I would really look to Beth Townsend and the people in the Department of Civil Rights to look at whatever improvements or recommendations they think would be appropriate.
Yeah. Shifting gears, Republicans in the House have developed a budget plan for the next year, which doesn't include money for economic development grants, $25 million, which you have requested. It includes some significant cuts in other areas to the state universities and even to tourism.
Well, we are committed to working with both the House and the Senate, and we put together a budget that we think is balanced, sustainable, and focuses on the priorities we have, which is jobs and education and reforming and improving education. And this is just the beginning of the budgeting process in the House and the Senate. That's why we felt strongly we needed a two-year budget, so that we got a lot of the big issues resolved last year. We'll continue to work with them to resolve the issues on the budget this year. I feel confident at the end of the day we're going to get a reasonable budget approved.
What is reasonable?
Well, I think the recommendations we made are reasonable, and they're sustainable, and they spend less than we take in each year, and they focus on the priority areas of jobs and education. Well, this is not the first time I've had an item veto case go to the Supreme Court. We recognize that most of these item veto cases eventually go there. We feel very confident the item veto was granted to the governor in order to control spending and the cost of government. We think this was a reasonable exercise of that authority, and we feel confident we'll be successful, and we'll obviously wait and see what the court decides. That was done under this year's budget. So we're talking about budget for the next fiscal year beginning July 1. But projects like that do sometimes require significant resources. Now, this is a huge investment, the biggest investment ever made in the history of the state, and we want to be in a position to be able to compete for those kind of opportunities in future years as well.
Was it a $37 million state commitment?
Well, That's, I think that's a combination of everything. Remember, it's $1.3 billion investment that's being made here, and that includes, I think, local as well as state. I don't know the exact amount, but I think that was reported on Friday. It's in this fiscal year, as you well know.
Thank you, Governor.
Okay, thank you very much.